This is Michael Bohm, and you're listening to the Youth Apologetics Training Podcast. Welcome, friends. What you're about to hear is a collection of older, shorter podcasts that have been condensed into one larger podcast. Back when I first started this ministry, I recorded all these old podcasts on a BlackBerry phone. Okay, nowadays we're, as you can tell, have much better audio. I'm using a professional microphone. But back then, I was using a BlackBerry phone, and I recorded very short podcasts. And then, these 5 to 15-minute podcasts, I would put them up online. But now, I'm going back through, with the help of one of my listeners, Seth. Thank you, Seth. He is going back through and taking these older podcasts, these long series, and condensing them into longer 45-minute to an hour podcasts. So some things to look out for, obviously. Bad audio, at least during the beginning, when I was using this BlackBerry phone. You're also going to notice a difference in audio quality from time to time as I jump from one 5 to 15-minute podcast to the next one. And that brings up another thing. Sometimes there are slightly awkward topic or subject matter jumps. And that is simply because the end of one podcast has hit and then the next one was spliced on. I apologize about that, but it is what it is. So with that, let's go ahead and jump into today's podcast.
Hey, this is Michael Bohm, Youth Apologetics Training. Today we're going to start a new series on Is Mormonism Christian? Recently I heard that Glenn Beck was attending an evangelical church. That disturbed me a little bit because I was hearing people praising Mormonism as being a Christian religion, just another denomination. Well, this series seeks to determine if that's true or not. To all my Mormon friends out there, or anybody else who is listening who has problems with this issue, let me tell you this. I love you guys. I love Mormons. They're good people. The problem I have is that there are some major differences between Christianity and Mormonism, and I want there to be honesty between the two groups. Mormonism is not Christianity, and we will show that in the following series. And why would I go to such lengths why would I even do this series? Well, guys, there does seem to be a push by the Latter-day Saints, which is the Church of Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ, that's the Mormon Church, to call themselves or portray themselves as just another denomination of Christianity. And I'm not just making that up. I've had countless Mormon missionaries in my living room, in my kitchen, speaking to them about Christianity and them trying to witness to me about Mormonism. And to a person, every last one of them tried to convince me that Mormonism is just Christianity. And my friends, I am not a postmodernist. I do not believe that truth is relative, and I don't believe that all roads lead to the same God. Each one of our monotheistic faiths out there have mutually exclusive claims. The Muslims claim that they have the only way to God. The Jehovah's Witnesses claim that they have the only way to God. Christianity obviously claims that we have the only way to God. In fact, Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 says, "But though we or an angel from heaven," remember that, "we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Now, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. God's word says that. So we need to really look at this closely. What about Mormonism? Do they make any exclusive claims? They actually do. And I find that a little disturbing when Mormons in my living room tell me that they are Christians, and then I read statements that say otherwise. One of the beliefs of the Mormon Church is that man cannot gain eternal life and enter the presence of the Lord outside of Mormonism. That sounds pretty exclusive. Here's another one. There are two churches only, the Church of the Lamb, which is Mormonism, and the Church of the Devil, and that's supposed to be us. Here's another one, that the Mormon Church is the only true church on earth to the exclusion of all others. It has the only true authority. So, friends, we need to look into this. Let's have some fun, but let's be loving as well. These Mormons are our friends. They're our neighbors. A lot of us, they're our relatives. I love them. They are very, very wonderful people. They're just a little mistaken. And we, as Christians, we need to love them, and we need to help them find the truth. So let's dig in. Throughout the next few days, I'm not sure how long this series will last, we're going to discuss several things. First of all, we need to define our terms. Now, what I mean by that is words that we use as Christianese, as Christians, mean one thing to us, but they actually mean, in many instances, an entirely different thing to Mormons. Words like salvation, hell, mortal, sin, atonement, redemption, all these words and many more have completely different meanings. So when you say something like this, do you believe in the atonement, to a Mormon, they're going to say, well, yeah, and they do, but not the same as we do. So I want to go through really quick and define terms so that we're all on the same page. And when you talk to a Mormon, you'll understand where they're coming from. And a lot of times, in fact, every time I've witnessed to a Mormon, I've had to define our terms. Actually, to sit down and say, now, let me get this straight. When we say atonement, we mean this, but I understand that you mean that. And they say, huh. A lot of times, they don't even realize that there's a difference. So anyway, we'll talk about terms and definitions. Secondly, we will talk about the essential doctrines of the Christian faith. I actually have a series out on this already, and I encourage all of you who have not listened to it, it's very basic, okay? So if you read the description and realize, oh, gosh, I already know that, well, then skip it. If you don't know the essential doctrines of the Christian faith, go back and listen to that series. We're going to weigh Mormonism according to the five essential doctrines of the Christian faith. And then lastly, we will discuss some of the other doctrines that Mormonism believes and how they match up to what the Bible says. Terms and definitions. I'm going to rely heavily on an article I got off CARM.org. It's Matt Slick's website. And once again, this website has got some fantastic Christian theology on it, apologetics. Way to go, Matt. It's really good. The article I'm looking at here is called Mormon Words Don't Mean the Same Thing. And that's exactly summing up what we're going to be talking about today. So, having said that, let's just jump right in. The first word we're going to come to is Adam. What do Christians mean by the word or name Adam? Well, we're talking about that guy in the garden. He had a wife named Eve. We know that Adam was created sometime in the afternoon because, well, it was sometime before Eve. Anyway, sorry about that. What about the Latter-day Saints? What do they believe about Adam? LDS says, father of physical mankind, Adam is also known as Michael the Archangel and the Ancient of Days. And that's straight out of Doctrine and Covenants, which is one of their books. They actually have four books. Anyway, Doctrine and Covenants, chapter 116. And taking it a step further, Brigham Young, who is their second prophet of the church, speaking under the inspiration of God, allegedly, that's what they say, also came up with the doctrine, the Adam-God doctrine, that Adam was God, the only God that we have to do. Now, that is contested within the Mormon church. There is there's a lot of debate on that. Nonetheless, a prophet spoke. A prophet of the Mormon Church spoke, and that is what is written down. So, let's move on. What about the atonement? To Christians, the atonement is the substitutionary sacrifice of Jesus on our behalf. The fact that he died for our sins, that's huge. That's huge, guys. And that's what we believe. What do the Latter-day Saints teach concerning the atonement? They believe it is the sacrifice of Christ that made resurrection possible, along with the possibility of our earning forgiveness of sins. Did you hear those words? It made resurrection possible, along with making it possible for us to earn forgiveness of sins. Big, big difference. As you can already see, this is not Christianity. Let's move on. What about baptism? I'm really going to jump in here and probably make a few people mad. I apologize. What does the Bible say about baptism? Baptism is commanded of God, but it is not something that you do to be saved. It is something you do as a result of being saved. So if you're sitting at the deathbed of somebody you know, your grandma, your grandpa, your husband, your wife, something like that, and they're dying, and there's no way in the world that they're going to have the opportunity to be baptized, would you not witness to them? No, you witness to them. You witness to them. And you know what? The guy on the cross, the thief, the liar, sitting on the cross next to Jesus, Jesus said to him, "Today I will see you in paradise." That guy didn't get baptized. They didn't pull him off the cross real quick and dunk him and then throw him back up there. Now, my point is, don't let that stop you. Now, conversely, if you are a Christian and you have never been baptized, what in the world are you thinking? Get baptized. What's wrong with you? God tells you to do it. Go get baptized. All right, enough said. What is the Latter-day Saint teaching on baptism? It is an ordinance that is absolutely necessary in order for your sins to be washed away. You have to be baptized in Latter-day Saint Church. Okay, moving on. What is the Bible? According to us Christians, the Bible is the inspired, inerrant word of God. What about the Latter-day Saints? They say it's correct only as far as it's correctly translated. Whoa, that's a little elusive. It's kind of trustworthy, but in times past when I've been witnessing the Mormons, when we come to a scripture they don't like, they conveniently just say, "Well, that's not translated correctly." Well, dang it. Anyway. All right, moving on. When a Christian speaks of the church, they're talking about God's body of believers. When the LDS, Latter-day Saints, are speaking of the church, they're only talking about the LDS church with its organizational structure, laws, and the name. What about damnation? The Bible, as far as Christians believe, it is the state of condemnation judged by God in an eternal hell. Yikes. Let's not go there. What do the LDS teach? They basically say that it's anything lesser than exaltation. What is exaltation? It's becoming a god. Oh boy. Yeah. Mormonism teaches that if you follow all of their commandments, and basically if you do everything as prescribed by the church leadership, the prophets, and God judges you worthy, you will become a god of your own planet. That doesn't sound Christian. Let's move on. Since we just talked about becoming a god, let's talk about eternal life. To a Christian, eternal life is having your sins forgiven and living life eternally with God forever and forever. The eternal life of a Mormon, it's exaltation. It means obtaining godhood and living forever in the celestial kingdom, producing spirit babies with some, well, with your wife, not Christian. Exaltation. This is getting a little redundant, but as far as Christians go, there is no such thing as becoming a god. But as far as the Latter-day Saints, it's the state of becoming a god. How about this one? Fall of mankind. As far as the Bible goes and Christianity, Adam and Eve, they fell in the garden. They rebelled against God. And it resulted in all of mankind being condemned, and the result was death and the fall of mankind. But as far as the Latter-day Saints, they believe that the fall in the garden was a fall upward. And that's actually a quote from them. They believe it's a fall upward. What do they mean by that? They think it's a blessing, and they think that, well, this is kind of merging into another definition, but if you are immortal, you can have children. If you are immortal, you cannot have children. So Mormons believe that Adam and Eve willingly transgressed God's words and sinned against him in order to fulfill a higher calling, which was to secure their mortality in order to fulfill the other command of being fruitful and multiplying. They sinned against God so that they could have babies. Moving on, and we'll make this one our last for today. God. What does it mean to be God? Well, according to Christians, there is only one God, and he's the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the only God. Before him, there was no other gods. And we'll look into some scriptures like Isaiah 44, 6 and 8. There is no other God. So what do the Latter-day Saints believe about God? He's one of countless gods in existence. He's an exalted man from another world who created the earth, whose name is Elohim. He became a god by following the laws and ordinances of his god on the other world. He has a body of flesh and bones. They have a saying, I believe it originated with Lorenzo Snow, and I might completely botch this, but it's basically to the effect of, as man is, God once was, and as God is, man may become. Whoa. This is grave stuff. I love Mormons. I do. I have lots of friends who are Mormons. I have a lot of respect for them. In fact, they put us Christians to shame with how much good works they do, going door to door and helping people out and sharing what they feel is the truth. But, my friends, it's not the truth. And it's certainly not Christianity. How about the Godhead? When a Christian talks about the Godhead, they are talking about God himself, as described by the Trinity. It is three persons, one God. It's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To the Mormon, Godhead actually means, or is speaking of, an office held by three separate gods, separate, not three persons, but three separate gods, the Father, who is a God, Jesus, who is also a God, and the Holy Ghost, who is another God. Okay, remember yesterday when we talked about Galatians chapter 1, verses 8? Speaking of, if we or an angel preach any other gospel than what we have preached, let them be accursed. I didn't say that. God did. Let's move on to the gospel. According to Christians, the gospel is basically the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for the forgiveness of the sins of all who would trust in him. That is awesome. What is the gospel according to Mormonism? See, they will tell you, we believe in the gospel, but what they mean by that is the laws and ordinances of the Mormon Church. That's the good news? That we have to follow laws and ordinances of a church? That's not good news. It's a different gospel. This isn't Christianity, guys. It's different. Let's move on. How about the word heaven? To Christians, I really don't even need to explain this, but heaven is the place of God, the dwelling place of God, and it's also where us Christians will go someday. But to a Mormon, heaven is divided into three different kingdoms. They have the celestial, the terrestrial, and the telestial. The celestial is for the perfect Mormons, and that would be where they attain exaltation or godhood. The terrestrial is for moral people like lukewarm Latter-day Saints, and actually even, I believe, even for Christians would be in the terrestrial. And the telestial, it's for the kingdom, well, that encompasses everybody else. So again, no hell. But God's word is pretty clear. There is a hell. And sooner or later, I will do a study on hell. It won't be fun. But the fact of the matter is, hell is for real. It is for real, whether we like it or not. And we need to consider that, A, as we live our lives, and B, as we witness to people. Okay, moving on. Well, we were talking about hell. Let's go ahead and talk more about hell. To us Christians, the eternal dwelling place of those who rejected the atoning work of Christ. To a Mormon, it is the temporary abode in the spirit world between death and resurrection for those awaiting celestial glory. Guys, this isn't Christian. All right, so let's move on to the Holy Ghost. In the Bible, the Holy Ghost is the same as the Holy Spirit, but to a Mormon, there's a difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so right now, to a Mormon, we're just talking about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is a spirit man. He can only be at one place at one time, so not omnipresent like our Holy Spirit is shown to be in the Bible. And the Holy Ghost is likened to electricity, which is interesting because that is how the Jehovah's Witnesses describe the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit. It's all one to them. It's how they describe the Holy Spirit, the Jehovah's Witnesses as well. It's like the Force, like Luke, use the Force, kind of like that. I know, I'm a nerd, sorry. Anyway, we know about the Holy Ghost, and there's a difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit, according to Mormon theology. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God as distinguished from the Holy Ghost, who is a God in the Mormon Trinity. What? Okay. So, let's move on. How about Jesus? In the Bible, Jesus is, well, he's God, and he's the second person of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. To a Latter-day Saint, it is the literal offspring of God, the Father. Literal. I'm not going to get into that. If you don't get that, moving on. Spirit brother of Satan, a God in the Godhead, he is Jehovah of the Old Testament compared to Elohim being the Father. He's the first spirit child to be born to the Father and Mother gods, ordained as the Christ in the preexistent Grand Council before coming to Earth. So basically, holy smokes, this is way different than Christianity. There was a council on a planet called Kolob. That's right. The Council of the Gods, they had an argument about how basically they were going to structure and run the planet Earth. And two brothers, Satan and Jesus, brothers, had, they were persuading everybody in two different directions. And there was a vote. Satan wanted to rule the planet, and Jesus had a different means of running the planet where he would die for population of the planet. And the vote was cast, and Jesus won the vote, and Jesus and Satan kind of had disagreements with each other, and now Jesus is the one redeeming the planet. Way different than Christianity. Way different. All right, let's move on. All right, I'm taking a lot of time here, so I'm going to speed up a little bit. How about marriage? Well, according to us Christians, it's a covenant between a man and a woman that is only broken at death. To a Mormon, it's an eternal bonding of husband and wife that continues into the afterlife. These couples will continue to have children throughout eternity. Whoa, that's different. Also, as an added bonus, and I'll talk a little bit more about this in a few days, but in order to attain exaltation or godhood in Mormon theology, you need to be married in a temple. This is odd, and I haven't heard this addressed before, but Paul was never married, and Jesus wasn't married, and I'm not sure what they do with that. They probably have an explanation for it. Moving on, salvation. According to Christians, forgiveness of sins with the result of a present new life in the future and eternal life with God. To a Latter-day Saint, it is it has a twofold meaning. Simple bodily resurrection of all people and also forgiveness of sins. So salvation is a little bit different to a Mormon. Satan is a fallen angel who rebelled against God. To the Latter-day Saints, he is the opposer of God, literal son of God, brother of Jesus, and all people begotten in the pre-existent spirit world. How about scripture? Well, according to Christians, the Bible is scripture. Or according to Mormonism, it is the Bible, the Book of Mormon, another book called Doctrine and Covenants, another one called Pearl of Great Price. Yikes. They've got a lot of different books, and we will get into that probably not in this study too much, but in further studies on the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But for now, let's move on. And that is much different than Christianity. Wouldn't you guys agree? Let's move on. How about the temple? Well, Christians would say the Old Testament building where God dwelt, sacrifices were offered, and holy priestly rites were administered. There's no longer a need for temples to a Christian, but to the Latter-day Saints, it is a present-day temple used to practice the ordinances and ceremonies of the gospel of the LDS Church on behalf of the living as well as the dead. They baptize people in proxy for those who have died without being baptized. Oh, it's so different. We'll talk about that someday. They actually baptize for the dead, and it's different. We'll get to that later. And, of course, lastly, the Trinity. According to Christians, it's the one and only God in all existence who is comprised of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But to the Latter-day Saints, it's three gods. Three different gods, so they're polytheistic. They believe in many gods. A God called the Father, a God called the Son, and a God called the Holy Ghost. We're going to talk about the essential doctrines of Christianity. What must a Christian believe if they really are a Christian? And again, we don't believe these things to be saved. But since we are saved and we are reading God's word, these are the doctrines we really should believe. Let's go through them really quick. But folks, I encourage you, if you do not know these doctrines and you haven't heard my series on the essential doctrines of Christianity, find the series on iTunes or my website or Sermon Audio and go through them. But here they are in a nutshell. Number one, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus died on a cross, was in the grave for 3 days, and he rose from the grave 3 days later and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. Secondly, we believe in the deity of Christ. Jesus Christ is God. Thirdly, we believe in salvation by grace alone. And fourthly, we believe in the gospel, the good news, that we are saved by grace. And if a person trusts in Christ alone and repents of their sins, they will be saved. And lastly, we believe in monotheism, that is one God. All of these five essential doctrines are strongly attested to in the Word of God. And now, let's measure these five essentials up to Mormonism and see if Mormonism levels with Christianity. So, first and foremost, the resurrection, well, they believe in that too. So, they're okay there. How about the second one, the deity of Christ? Well, that's a little different. According to Mormonism, Jesus Christ was begotten as the first spirit child of the Father Elohim. And one of his unnamed wives, who they refer to oftentimes as Heavenly Mother. Jesus, as a spirit son, then progressed in the spirit world until he became a god. So, did you guys catch that? At one point, Jesus was begotten. He was actually born, and then he had to follow the laws and ordinances and progress and become a god. That is different than what we read in the scriptures, that Jesus was God from everlasting. All right, let's move on to the next essential doctrine of Christianity, salvation by grace. Mormons will tell you that they believe in salvation by grace, but let me show you what they mean by that. James E. Talmage had this to say about salvation by faith. He said, "The sectarian dogma of justification by faith alone has exercised an influence for evil." And they say of grace that grace is simply God's enabling power that allows people to lay hold on eternal life and exaltation after they have expended their own best efforts. Grace aids people as they seek, by personal effort, to attain perfection. Spencer W. Kimball said that one of the most fallacious doctrines originated by Satan and propounded by man is that man is saved alone by the grace of God, and that belief in Jesus Christ alone is all that is needed for salvation. So he's calling salvation by grace, as we see it, one of the most fallacious doctrines originated by Satan. Friends, my Bible says in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, "By grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." My Bible says in Titus 3, 5, it says, "He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy." Romans 3:20 says, "By the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." Galatians 2:16 says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." How about Romans 4, verses 4 through 5? "To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned by grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Isn't that awesome? Anyway, let's move on and look at the next essential doctrine of Christianity, the gospel. We already saw, when we were talking about salvation by grace, their difference in how they see salvation and what they mean by salvation by grace. And they do not believe grace alone, by the way. Going a little further with that concept, they have a difference between what they mean by general salvation and individual salvation. General salvation, Bruce McConkie says, it is that which comes by grace alone without obedience to the law, to the gospel law, and consists in the mere fact of being resurrected. So basically, it's just speaking of general salvation is the idea that we are saved from the grave and we're allowed to be resurrected and then the judgment. Individual salvation, Joseph Fielding Smith said in Doctrines of Salvation, he's quoted as saying that which man merits through his own acts, through life and by obedience to the laws and ordinances of the gospel. Guys, this is a different gospel. Remember, Galatians 1:6 says that if you believe any other gospel than that which is preached and put forth in God's word, you are cursed. this is not the same gospel. So what about monotheism? Well, Bruce McConkie says, or is quoted as saying, as each of these persons is a god, it is evident from this standpoint alone that a plurality of gods exist. To us, speaking in the proper finite sense, these three are the only gods we worship. But in addition, there's an infinite number of holy personages drawn from worlds without number who have passed on to exaltation and are thus gods. Folks, they believe in many gods. We believe in one God. The essential doctrines of the faith state that there is only one God. Look at the first commandment. Just look at Isaiah 44, verses 8. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Next, I wanted to talk about, and I'm going to go into these topics a little closer in another series. I plan on doing several more on Mormonism, quite a few more. There's so much to talk about. So I'm just going to mention these somewhat in passing, just so you have a feeling for it. Later on, we'll get in depth and really talk about this stuff. The Church of Latter-day Saints has a different leadership structure in their church that we would not be used to as Christians. For example, they have two priesthoods, the Aaronic priesthood and the Melchizedek priesthood, both of which have died off long ago as far as, real historical understanding. You have to be a descendant of Aaron in order to be part of the Aaronic priesthood. One, and the Melchizedek priesthood belongs to Christ and Christ alone. Both of these are biblical. Nonetheless, they have them in their leadership structure, as well as a prophet who heads up the church. Their prophet, for a lack of really getting in depth in this prophet, it's similar to the Catholic Church's Pope in that when he speaks from God. What I really wanted to get to today, guys, is according to Mormon theology, there was a total apostasy that happened to the church shortly after the apostles passed away. And what they mean by that is, after the apostles died, revelation to the church ceased, and the church pretty much ceased to be the church of God at that point. It took a few centuries, but eventually the church just kind of fizzled out, and there has been no church under God until April 6th of 1830, when Joseph Smith restored the one true church. And as a Christian, I guess at this point you might see the problem. Mormons claim that they are a Christian, and then they say this about us. I think what we're looking at is a case of equivocation here. What is their definition of Christian? If we're all apostatized, if we are all gone astray, then what is a Christian? Let me read you a few quotes. Brigham Young, the second president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, said, the Christian world, so-called, are heathens as to their knowledge of the salvation of God. Yikes. Okay, Brigham Young, big name in the Latter-day Saint faith. How about Orson Pratt? He is a leading Mormon apostle. He said, all other churches are entirely destitute of all authority from God. And any person who receives baptism or the Lord's Supper from their hands will highly offend God, for he looks upon them as the most corrupt of all people. Oh, okay. What about Bruce McConkie? And I've quoted from him in one of the earlier podcasts. He's one of the church's foremost doctrinal authorities. He said Mormons have the only pure and perfect Christianity now on earth. He also declared all other systems of religion are false, and that If it had not been for Joseph Smith and the restoration, there would be no salvation. There is no salvation outside the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Ooh, see what I'm saying, guys? How about George Q. Cannon? He's a member of the LDS First Presidency. He wrote, the various organizations, which are called churches throughout Christendom, though differing in their creeds and organizations, have one common origin. Ready? Here it is. They all belong to Babylon. God is not the founder of them. Okay, guys, that wraps it up. Either they're Christians and we're not, or we're Christians and they're not. In future series, we're going to go into a little bit more about what they believe. We're going to look at the Book of Mormon. We're going to look at archaeology. Mormonism claims that it's been alive and active on this continent, in America, on this side of the world, the west side of the world, for several hundred years, and yet we have not found a single archaeological piece of evidence, not a coin, not a sword, not a shield. There's been huge cities that are mentioned in the Book of Mormon where millions of people have lived. We haven't found a single one. We haven't found any temples. We haven't found any inscriptions, any writings, any books, any tablets. Folks, we haven't found anything. We're going to get into that. We're going to talk about the history of the Mormon Church. We're going to talk about what the Book of Mormon teaches and actually what it doesn't teach. We're going to talk about Joseph Smith. We're really going to get into it, and I look forward to that. Friends, I don't mean to teach on this with any animosity. I'm doing this in love. Any Mormons, if you're listening, I love you guys. I want you guys to get saved. I want you to see the truth. If you disagree with me, that's okay. Go on to youthapologeticstraining.com. Leave me a comment. I'd love to talk to you. Friends, and that goes for all the rest of you as well, youthapologeticstraining.com. I'm Michael Bohm. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, guys, that's it. Thanks for listening. This has been Michael Bohm, and you're listening to the Youth Apologetics Training Podcast. I love you guys, and we'll see you next week.